Hi, I'm Jim Lake. Welcome to another edition of Tech Talk. It's been a little while since our last edition. Today we're going to talk about the advances in storage protection, the Viking storage protection line, as well as some of the accessories that go along with that. So we're going to talk about some new ESFR type sprinklers, some control mode sprinklers, and some of the accessories that go along with that. With that, can't think of anybody better to talk to about this than our Senior Vice President of Product Experience. I got that one right. Martin Workman. So Martin, come on in here. I'm glad I got that. I'm glad I got the title right. That's really important.
It's a long one.
It's a very long one. Yeah. So, but what we're going to talk, what we're going to start off with, let's start off with the advances that we've done in ESFR sprinklers. Then we can go to the control modes and some of the accessories. But the first one that I wanted to kind of throw out here was the specific application ESFR sprinklers that we have online. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. Episode 10 of Tech Talks, if you'll remember, we talked about the VK514 and how it was groundbreaking and its nine sprinkler design and how FM 8-9 had changed and all of that. This is different, though. This is another K28, a brother, but it does something completely different here, or it advances it a little bit further. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what this one does?
Actually, for us old Vikings, because I'm senior now.
You're senior.
I'm senior.
You are.
It's a little bit of Back to the Future. The VK514 started out as only a specific application sprinkler. It had a UL listing, 48-foot ceilings, 43-foot of storage. Our first listing actually came out with 8-foot aisles. And anybody that does storage understands that aisle width is kind of king because it tells you how much more cube space that you have in the warehouse. You know,
those guys are cubic square.
That turns into dollars as soon as you can shove them together. Being at that high of an elevation, we were second in. Mm-hmm. So the first manufacturer that had a listing, there were 8-foot aisles. They passed the test. They were being very successful with it.
Right.
We came out with a K28 specifically for that. We designed it specifically for that. So when we pushed in the aisles to 6-foot, that was like, you know, groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. Then the K28, the VK514, you know, as we were waiting to be able to test in a higher ceiling.
Right.
And you just can't go anywhere for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had the UL listing. UL caps out at 48 feet. We already had the 48 feet. We wanted to go higher. Then we ended up at FM. So that's where you see the famous 55 foot.
Right.
And then the 50 foot test. And so that's the Lynx style, the 514. Mm-hmm. The 5141 is literally our first foray into glass bulb technology.
Right. We don't have anything like this.
So, you know, looking at it, we had a couple of different designs, but one of the fire tests that we had to run was a parallel of what we did with the 514 at UL if we wanted the same things, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
So the 5141, we actually slid the aisles in 1 more foot.
Mm.
So if you go to this sheet, I think you've got a chart on the next slide as you go through it. They look the same, but there's major differences. UL FM on the 514, UL only on the 5141. The arrangement of the commodities are the same for the specific application, and that's all this states is a specific application. You come down to a 12-head design at 35 PSI, which was gigantic as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our sales guys struggled with, well, it's only 10 PSI less.
That's
48 foot, 10 PSI. I can tell you what that equates to in elevation.
That's a lot.
0.43 times, and we've got it. The deflector location is 14 inches down. There's been a movement in the industry where some of the larger ESFRs had insulations as far as 18 inches down to the deflector, or 17 if you're FM to the middle of the element, as you know, where this is 14. So that's the same. But the biggest key to this is that aisle width.
It's the 5-foot aisle width.
Yeah, and people go, what's so magical about it? And you could say one test day over the other. You know, what we like to look at is, you know, there's that the bulb and the element are two different things, two different items that do the same thing. Yeah. And in this case, the bulb just did a better job for it.
Did a better job.
Yeah.
And you, like you said, you cannot overstate the importance of even that 1 foot on the aisle. When you're talking about hundreds of thousands of square feet, and suddenly you're capturing more and more. Boy, that's a lot of square footage,
math
right?
Is really
a lot
easy.
Of cubic feet.
Yeah, 8-foot aisles and a 55-foot ceiling will not store as much as 6-foot aisles and a 50-foot ceiling.
There you go.
So that's the easiest one. Unfortunately, I've had to study it too much.
So. Cool. So there's the first advancement. Then we got the VK514, and we got its new brother there, the 5141. One of the things that's happening, and we see it a lot, is just the storage industry isn't stopping. They're going higher and higher, mm-hmm. even though we can only test up to 55-foot ceilings because that's as high as we can go.
We can go to 60.
We've
failed at 60.
Okay, we failed at 60. So we're still working at 60.
That probably answers a question where you were going with it. How high could we go ceiling only?
Yeah.
And for the longest time, and I remember a lot of really smart people in the industry giving presentations saying, well, I think we're capped at 45 feet. And that mm-hmm. was in 13. It was an FM. That's the way UL tested. We all did it that way. And we just kept inching it up. Technology, water supply, those types of things. But 55 mm-hmm. seems it's one of those good bad stories. It looked pretty good for a while, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and that's a bad way to end a fire test.
So the next advance that we'll talk about is actually an accessory advance, because all of this is designed around, you know, everything we're looking at here is designed around ceiling only. It's ceiling only, maximum flexibility underneath. I mean, that's what people are going for right here. But we've also come up with a unit here. I got it in my hand, but I also have it on the screen. That, you know, let's talk a little bit about the advancement of this, mm-hmm. Of the cage, of the guard around an ESFR sprinkler. I mean, most of the time people see ESFR sprinklers, they're thinking ceiling only. That's what they're thinking, and if I need to, I'm going to use a different sprinkler. Why on earth would we have
one
of these big guys? And let's talk a little bit about that. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Why the mm-hmm. guard? The other one I want to talk about is what approvals does it have, and how do they actually use it? And, you know, is there a unique design to the guard itself that makes it cool? Not the design of the sprinkler system, but I know you were heavily involved in the design of that. I saw it on your desk long before it came out as a product.
Well, that's so. A lot of people look at a guard on a sprinkler, and mm-hmm. unfortunately, a lot of us use guards that aren't listed with a sprinkler.
Right.
So that's an older battle. With the ESFR, there were no guards for them. Mm-hmm. So. And it was rare that you actually needed them, because ESFRs are located very high in the ceiling. The chances of you mm-hmm. damaging them because you were rummaging around up there are probably pretty low, too.
Huh?
Where you do see the need for guards and where you see a kind of a more of a regular opportunity for damage is in racks.
Yeah.
So there is a FM design which came out, I'm going to guess, it was probably about 12 years ago. Remember, gentleman Wes Baker came to Viking, and he talked about all this new stuff they'd been working on.
Mm-hmm.
And one was, and I call it raise the floor. And I don't know if FM has a different term for it. Viking always used the term raise the floor because we were going to do testing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we never thought to use ESFRs, so bad mm-hmm. on us. But the idea was that you could extend that ceiling by having a super in rack. And mm-hmm. that's what they created with the ESFR, which is, it's outstanding. It's great. It's a lot of sprinklers at one layer.
Right.
Call it a layer of racking. And you can either go 30 to 40 feet in separation of those in-rack levels. And then at the top, you could be, say, 30 to 40 feet away from your ceiling.
You're
going to do your ceiling design, and then your in-rack design is different. It's separate. It's no longer combined at the base, mm-hmm. all the stuff that you had to do with in-racks. So they had the design, and shortly after they came out with the design, everybody said, great, I need a sprinkler guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's other manufacturers that have them, but what we did is we took an approach to more of a clam-like approach.
Yeah, take this.
And
show this.
And that was
the
whole idea behind it, is that, you know, if you're installing the sprinkler, you could clam around it and put it in there, because we wanted to make sure that it was good. It has to be installed after the sprinkler. Unfortunately,
sure.
It's not really designed to be made on the sprinkler. it's simple design, so that's why it's to one screw. Currently it's in the 1-inch. I know that we're working on other guards for
design.
ESFRs.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Cool. So that takes us from All right, the standard, well, not standard, but kind of the ordinary warehouses. Let's talk a little bit about.
We're looking down at sprinklers, by
the way. Oh, by the way.
We're looking at our feet, yeah.
They're magically showing up. But the next thing I want to, let's move from standard warehouses. Let's go into cold storage. Mm-hmm. Let's go into cold storage because we have ESFRs there as well. And even though ESFRs designed to be pendant, they're pendant sprinklers. They're designed on wet systems only. You can still provide protection in there with our line of, and now we've got three. We'll talk about the 512 today, but we've had dry ESFRs, right? Mm-hmm. Since 2007, I'm guessing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's the idea here. Oh, look, I even have a slide that says that if I'd waited.
Well, look at that. My memory. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad we didn't ask about the K-17.
So there's our line, but let's talk a little bit about what they're designed to do.
If you don't mind, let's go back to the sprinklers and we'll kind of go through that. So with the K-14, and I apologize, I'll slide back even farther, otherwise my arm is... So the K-14 ESFR, if you'll note that we have two distinct ends. We have a threaded and a grooved end to it. Mm-hmm. The grooved was the first grooved dry sprinkler in existence. And the reason for that is we had a 2-inch end on it, on the groove, but we had an 1.5-inch thread. And so what's kind of unique about it is over time how we've evolved a little bit. So that's how we started out with a K-14. It's how we could maintain that K factor. So our K factor is right at the inlet.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about the barrel length. It's in there. It's like Campbell's soup. It's all in there. When you move to the K-17, what we did is we redesigned that inlet. So you literally have an 1.5-inch grooved inlet. So we went from 2 with a K-14 to 1.5 with a K-17 and then continued the theme with the K-25. Because what we did is we kind of future-proofed the inlet. Mm-hmm. We knew that we could get with a K-25 with that K-17 inlet, and we really looked at the need of a K-25, and as soon as we had 50-foot protection, then we knew to pull the trigger on it.
Cool.
Meaning it came out of FM. So that's when we did that. So it's been out for a few years, and we haven't seen, something that we call cannibalization is if you come out with a product, then take a bunch of share of an existing product, and that hasn't happened. In the last 2 years, both have grown,
okay,
which is great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It is. But this is the idea behind them, right, that you take into account that you've got freezer. Typically, what you're trying to do is replace all that dry sprinkler piping inside, right?
Yeah,
drop
so
it down.
If you were doing a lidded ceiling or lidded freezer in the past, this is what you ended up doing. If you had any height to it at all, if you got over 20 feet, this was probably what you were doing. So you more than likely had a main either above the ceiling or you dropped into the space, which, and it's real painful to try to hang this stuff because there's not a lot of structure there. You got to come up through and punch rods through sometimes. Then you had all your sprinkler piping, and then you dropped down to your in-rack piping because you know, unfortunately, you know, once you get past 20, 25 feet, you don't have a ton of dry barrel options. You're going to use some other head. Yeah.
Right.
So with that was kind of the pain that you had. And there was a high tolerance to spend as much money as you could to get rid of those in-racks in the freezer. Because anybody that's been in the trade very long realizes in-racks and freezers are just guaranteed freeze-ups. They're just future service calls. Freezers are a tough place to install sprinklers.
And so this is what it cleans everything up. This is the goal.
If you go back and then click it again, you'll notice how clean that freezer just got.
That gets really clean.
Because if you look at the flexibility the freezer owner just got by being able to get rid of that in-rack piping, now I can move my rack storage anywhere I want.
Right.
And with an ESFR, I can have just about anything in that freezer. Mm-hmm. It's no longer, is it a class 2? Wink, wink, nod, which there's no more class 2s anymore. We all know
that. Right, we all know that. Yeah, so for more information on protection of cold storage, that's episode 16, actually, of Tech Talks. I talked to Sean Kramer about specifically all the options for protection of cold storage warehouses and things.
Mr. Kramer, there you go.
Yeah. Very good. All right. So the 512. Then let's talk a little bit more about kind of how special this is then? Is there anything additional to kind of what you were talking about in the design? And that's a completely different frame, different look to it.
Yeah, as far as the frame goes, with the dry ESFRs over time, we've what you're trying to look at is trying to make the water flow through it more efficient. Mm-hmm. When you're passing a lab test, the better you do it, the less things you have in the way. So you'll see that it changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. Our previous VP of R&D wanted it to look a lot like our XT1. That's mm-hmm. why it has that rounded. Yeah, I mean, if you want to know why,
okay,
I could give you a whole story about helicopter water, but I'm not going to. That was the idea to kind of, if we're going to change the theme, where as opposed to, this is our typical ESFR mm-hmm. cross section. Very
famous.
They all look like
that.
Yeah, they all look like they had the same father and mother, which they did. But that's why that one looks a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The major thing about this is only available grooved. We don't offer it in a threaded version. There's really no point in it. We found mm-hmm. with the majority of dry ESFRs that we sell, majority are grooved. There's no savings in the threaded at all. They cost the same. Just make life easy and make it grooved.
Okay. Good.
And then one thing that you'll note, Jim, this isn't unique to this sprinkler at all, but you'll notice this white line that gets striped here. Whoops. I'm looking at myself backwards.
Yeah.
This allows, when you put it up through the ceiling the other way, like it's supposed to, mm-hmm. You can align those frame arms from below.
Oh, okay.
So if I'm trying to line them up, I can literally turn that. Okay, mm-hmm. now I'm in line. If they're kittywampus, I can just turn it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. The other unique part about it is just the K25 design, which is so much more unique. You get to mm-hmm. go over 40 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Need I say more?
Nope, that's it.
And you have to stop at 50, but you get over 40.
Yeah, you can get over 40. That's
great. You know, you don't have the same aisle requirements. I think what we are seeing, we're probably not going to see it in cannibalization anytime soon, but you'll start seeing people going, I can do more things at lower ceilings with this than mm-hmm. I can at K17.
Yeah. So. No, there's nothing stopping you from that.
Yeah.
Going lower. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about the boot, because is there anything special in this design here you want to talk about here? Before we get to that, gosh, I forgot about this. This was the 1050, yeah? 10 at 50 was kind of the big differentiator.
Well, the
design here, because this is out of FM,
right? It's a 50-foot ceiling. So if you take a look at the, if you look at the column as you go across, we got storage arrangement, mm-hmm. commodity, maximum ceiling height, and then right here this is the biggie. Mm-hmm. Now you may never have a 50-foot ceiling, but as soon as you're over 45 or you're over 40, you've got an issue. So, mm-hmm. If you're 46 one inch, guess what? You're in this design,
right?
So the 10 at 50 was a big deal because people were running into that. And we mm-hmm. all know in the last few years with the, everybody wants to call it the e-commerce boom.
Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe that, the world got a cold and we all decided to build warehouses. That was a long, it was way down the track before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It just worked at perfect timing for those folks, obviously. And a lot of times what you'll see buildings that are 47 feet.
Right.
Because they'll have a clear space below the steel of 45 feet. Mm-hmm. It just turns into that. So that became a big deal. What do we do over that? And as 8-, this is a chart from FM's 8-9.
Mm-hmm.
As 8-9 keeps continually evolving, which it does, that was a big change. There was actually this funny gap. They had this stop at 40, and then they picked it up,
mm-hmm.
but there was no 40 to 45.
Okay. Yeah,
no one knew what to do there. And easy thing. The nice part about FM, they can just rewrite it. Voting.
We don't go through 3-year cycles
TIAs
or anything else.
They're pretty cutting edge folks. So this chart is important. You're going to find it as storage continues to evolve, they're not going to fit in the same old charts. They've mm-hmm. got to go somewhere else.
Right.
We can actually move on to the seals.
The boots. Let's talk a little bit about these, because these are also something that's incredibly important when it comes to our our drops, if you want to
walk us through this,
if
you're a U.S. citizen and you own a freezer and you get moisture in that freezer, you are in violation of a federal offense.
Is that right?
I wouldn't kid you on that one.
Why, you wouldn't?
Because we got a lot better about sealing these.
Oh, the voice of experience.
Well, you know, when you learn things the hard way sometimes. So we had a customer that actually contacted us and said, hey, we've got a freezer guy that can tell you guys how to do that. We said, thank God, because we're sprinkler people. When we initially launched the VK50, it was actually a 501 at the time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a 502. It was a K14 ESFR. We provided these seals on both sides of the ceiling. The thing that we failed to realize is that there was some structure sometimes in these ceilings that didn't allow our little flat kind of gasket to seal, you know, around the ceiling. So this gasket got thicker. And then, I think you'll be able to see it better this way. You'll notice it has four holes.
Mm-hmm.
It started out with two.
With just two. Okay.
Yeah. And now we show, if you kind of back off screen just a little bit, Jim, you'll see, it doesn't quite show the penetration, but we actually show, in most cases, filling that with expanded foam.
Oh, really?
We were under the opinion, and all the sprinkler guys seem to know something about cold going up a pipe, except we don't. The freezer guys actually showed us how to seal that and actually bring insulation up to the up to where the seal was at, and we've had no occasion of the anything rising up.
Yep.
But the idea is to keep moisture out of the freezer, because you will have that big vast temperature difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if you create moisture and you drop through the ceiling, it was kind of a eye-opening experience for me.
Oh no!
Realizing I don't look good in orange.
Yeah. Well.
Even though I'm Dutch, I don't look good.
We wouldn't want, want that.
But no, it was, it's something that we've just always provided with the unit. Mm-hmm. So it's, you can buy them separately, but they actually come. The two come with that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people won't use them on the top, because if they'll seal it, they won't use it.
Okay,
no harm, no foul. That's not part of the listing and approval. I've had,
right.
I've heard very passionate Viking people tell me that it was, and it's not. It's something that we provided because it's a unique tube size. It's not, it was unique. It fits around that tube. Every now and again, we just had a customer that called and said, we sent all the wrong sizes out. So I'm in my office with my very technical Stanley tape measuring, well, it looks like about 1 5/8". And he says, well, that's what ours are. I said, well, then you got the right ones.
You got the right ones. we don't have it.
It'll happen. We all know. Yeah, okay. You haven't seen it before. So so this is it's a wonderful product. If you can pull pipe out of the freezer, all the better for you.
Yeah.
These systems are just wet systems, so you don't have the same issues that you do with cold storage. Obviously, Sean's going to cover that.
Yeah.
Even though I'm excited about talking about it, we'll just
save
move
it.
On.
We'll save it. Yeah. All right. So let's move from ESFRs. Let's move from suppression mode, and let's talk a little bit about our advances or changes in our control mode area. The VK-595, 598, which again, we cover in the cold storage episode as far as its design and what it's meant to do in relation to that. But also we got another, the 592 we'll get to in a moment. But to kind of lead into that, tell us a little bit about these guys, because these are some pretty impressively big sprinklers for being control mode. Kind of, what are they? You know, that means they're just spray sprinklers. They're just really, really big. So what are they designed to?
Yeah, so the 595 has been around for a long time. It's extended coverage.
Yeah.
It's an EC storage sprinkler, if you will.
Yeah.
Anything over 10 by 10 is extended
coverage.
Yeah,
and this is 14 by 14,
this
I think.
This goes out to 14 by 14. It's got a lot of different storage kind of coverage areas, if you will. You kind of have to follow some rules. It's actually, it falls in this whole specialty retail storage area in 13. There's a whole chapter written around that particular sprinkler and the fire testing that was done around it. It's a very unique sprinkler. A lot of people would argue that this will actually prevent ring skipping. And ring skipping is bad because if you operate a ring that shouldn't, then you're probably going to overcome your water supply. So in fire testing, we haven't seen issues with it. So there's some really unique abilities with that sprinkler. However, it is not an ESFR, and in storage applications or storage buildings that you're literally brokering to sell, they actually advertise them, you know, protected with ESFR technology. So with this sprinkler, where you're going to see it are big box stores. Any of the big box stores, I can't name any of them because I guess they haven't given us permission to. Yep. Well, I haven't asked either. I don't know. I'm not an expert. So I won't name any of them. Yeah. But that's a typical use for them because you'll notice those big box stores aren't all that tall. Mm-hmm. You don't see 40-foot box stores because you can't reach it.
Right.
you can't reach it.
They want you to reach
it. They want you to go so high and then they're going to store it and then bring it down for you. So any of the you know, the home building places, you'll see them there. A lot of the big, you know, kind of grocery retail type warehouse boxes, you'll see that because you get ESFR-like protection at greater spacing, which is so nice. And you know, being an upright, it's easier to maintain that deflector ceiling from the ceiling. And you know, as you look at it, uprights have naturally been protected by pipe.
Yeah.
So where you could actually reach something with a high-low. I started out in the trade. We always used uprights. It was only when I found out west of the Rockies they had things that made the ground shake, so they used a lot more pendants. So.
All right. So we've got these two that are both K25s.
Yeah, we'll talk about the 598, which is a little different because that is typically, if you want to call it a standard coverage storage sprinkler, that's what it is.
Right.
And it's around those control mode or CMDA charts in NFPA 13, number of sprinklers, you know, it's a density. If obviously when you're looking at FM 8-9, it's number of sprinklers and pressure.
But it's limited to 100 square feet, isn't it? It's not a 14 by 14. It's maximum of 12 in any one direction. But
with a ceiling height, but typically you're going to see people run them at 10 by 10.
Yeah.
You know, or 10 and then less,
if
depending
they have
on the line to miss steel or move your lines around.
The adjustments.
And I know you said you're going to cover that. Its uses are tire storage.
Is that right?
Tire storage.
Better, huh?
Density.
Okay.
Density. You know, freezers.
Yeah. Cool.
So it's where some of the big sprinklers fall.
All right. So let's go to our new 25 then.
Okay.
Oh, this. I'm sorry.
Well, this isn't quite new.
I didn't go to that, did I?
These are quite new.
No, not new.
That's okay.
Our new CMSA.
You've been here, what, 6 years?
It's new to me.
So it's new to you. I like that. So the 598 is a CMSA sprinkler. It's a number of sprinklers at a given pressure. It has different designs with each major lab, UL and FM. They're not the same.
Right.
In some cases, the performance is better at FM than it is at UL. And I'm, but as you look through it, the only place that you're going to find the information is on its data page. And that's what happens when you have a control mode specific application. It means that it's something not in the standard, meaning it doesn't conform to something in the standard. And it's unique. So as a manufacturer, you're required to put that information on your data page. That's the only place that you can find it. You can reference 13 and say, you know, obstruction criteria per, you know. Which we do, which is pretty typical. You know, we hit the four times rule, so that's us. We're in that four times rule. And this is a sprinkler that at 30 foot, it has like the best design.
Is that right?
It has the best design. Unfortunately, at 30 foot, there's other options.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of contenders at 30. So being the best at that is like being the tallest fourth grader. You know, it's good for the fourth grade, but I think in the fifth grade, you lose again. You know, it's just one more year. So this is it's a unique sprinkler. We see a lot of it used in retrofit applications to where the lines are at 12 feet for whatever reason.
Right.
This will allow you to go to 12 feet, sometimes with different storage, the pressure's relatively low on it, 16 PSI. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So if you're playing the pressure game, sometimes this will help you. That's why looking at the storage lineup, there's just so many different sprinklers to choose from. And you can typically find a solution to the problem if there is one. If there's no solution to the problem, we might be testing it.
And this is a standard response.
This isn't a fast response,
quick response, listed anything like
that. No, a lot of people think it's an ESFR.
Because it looks
Yeah.
It looks like them. You put them right next to them. You couldn't tell except basically for that.
We're working on a special sprinkler right now, which happens to be pendant, but it has a large bulb in it. Mm-hmm. And everyone I show it to or kind of discuss it, saying, you know, does this have an application for it? They go, well, it's an ESFR. It's like, it couldn't be farther from an ESFR.
Yeah.
And this one, because the link, it kind of looks like the other ones, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's being smart manufacturers, I think. It shares a lot of characteristics of an ESFR. You know, it's a pendant. FM told us that was better. The trade, we don't get pipe shadow, and that pretty much makes sense. The element and the pieces, part of the trigger and the strut are the same, but this element is a little thicker.
Now
you're not going to be able to see it probably
it is
quite
beefier,
as well.
Right.
But maybe you can, because this is, see if I can get that cast.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, you can see
there
it a
go.
Little bit. We'll do belly cam.
Put it right there.
We'll do belly cam, Jim. That's probably a new one for
Tech. That's a new one. I knew it was going to be interesting having you on.
But the point I'm trying to make is just because it's a pendant sprinkler doesn't necessarily make it an ESFR.
Right.
And that's got a unique K factor. It's 19.6. It's the only 19.6 in the industry. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it good or bad. It's just it's unique, and that's why those SIN numbers are so important. And okay. If something's marked with a K factor on it, pay attention to it. As the installer, as somebody designing or buying, they may not care.
Right.
But, you know, fitter's the last guy looking at it. And if they don't know to look at the deflector, I encourage you to have them look at the deflector.
Yeah, look at it. Yeah. Okay. So the last thing we want to talk about is another kind of accessory, although it's just released. There's information of it all over our website, and that is InstaSeal.
Well, so if you back out a little bit, and I'll back out a little bit, this is just more an accessory. This is a way of life. This is the way of the future. So I said back to the future, this is the future.
Yeah.
One of the key elements that we look at today is there's less and less people that want to install sprinklers. You know, we're making less and less people. I'm the last of the baby boomers.
That's right, we are.
It's kind of a fact. You know, I'm not too worried about my Social Security yet, but I'm sure I will be shortly. So what we looked at and kind of thinking about, you know, how do you make installations easier? What's one of the things that you could take away?
Right.
And you know, how about if we made it in by hand? So when you look at the act on a lift, and, you know, I think you've seen a lot of it, Jim, but, you know, you bring up a box of heads, either tape them on the ground and dope them, if you tape and dope, or you just dope. I'm not advocating one or the other.
One or the other.
You guys do what you want.
We're advocating this, actually.
We're going to get to it. But you do that, and then you put the head in the outlet, and then you crank away with a wrench.
Right.
We kind of looked at it like, how about if we just kind of eliminate that whole thing? Mm-hmm. So you basically can pull a sprinkler out of a box, put it into the weld-a-let and hand tighten it. And Jim, I've got one here, and I think you did a product spotlight, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, we did a product spotlight. So, if you're interested in that, it's on our website.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen the product spotlight, and I'll just have you go through it. Because you're the trained actor.
I'm the trained.
I'm just the guest.
Oh, he's the special expert. So, we'll start with the fact that go over to this one here. This is where it all starts because this is how it all shows up. It shows up to you with the piping is all put together and the gasket's already installed in it at part of fabrication and then covered over with this protective cap right here. The protective cap.
So it's a weld-a-let with an internal gasket.
Weld-a-let with an internal gasket. There you go. That's the terminology. Plus, it's got the protective cap the integrity cap that goes on that. And that's to protect everything in there because we don't want any dust or dirt getting in there through installation. Now, this might be, starts off as orange. It might show up as black because the piping has been treated or the piping has been covered. Coated with black, painted black, and that may be where we're, you know, it might have some paint on it.
Yeah, if we talk about the fabrication process, it's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. I'll get on screen. So
there you go. You go back on screen.
Yeah, glad I didn't wear the green shirt today. the fabrication process, really not a lot changes in it. You're going to cut the hole for the OLED, place the OLED on it and weld it. You're going to let the OLED cool, then you're going to place the gasket in it. Then you put the integrity cap on, and then typically because you've ground away what mm-hmm. whatever okay lacquer pipe paint that comes yep. from the manufacturer, yep. You're going to just paint.
They're going to go around it. Yep.
So the integrity cap does quite a few things. One, it protects the gasket from the paint, and then obviously dirt, debris, sand, all the bad things that can happen. So. Right. But I'll let you continue.
So that's perfect. And the next, what it allows us to do is you pull that cap off. You should see the white ring. You can see the white ring here. You can see the white ring in this photo as well. You should see this white ring inside. That means the gasket number one has been installed. Number two, it's installed in the right orientation, mm-hmm. which is critical. On the other side of that is gray. If it's been installed upside down or backwards or however you want to call it.
Kind of charcoal or black.
Yeah. Unless it's white, that's what you're looking for is the white gasket. Now, the next part of this is that's one technological advancement. I mean, that's huge just in fabrication. The other one, and I don't really think they might appreciate what went into this torque assist cap, the ability, because it wasn't just a matter of our older caps were just cups that kind of went over, did mm-hmm. the protection. They protected it just fine, mm-hmm. but you couldn't grab on and really do the torque on. So this particular cap, as you can see it here on the in the picture and also in here, I mean, this allows you to grab up, twist in, all in just with your hand, and that's it. It's hand tightened. Take it all the way down till you feel it's set on the gasket, and you'll know when it hits, and then you can just go 180, and then you can do a little bit of an adjustment, but it's all by hand. There is absolutely no wrenches available, they're needed.
Well, yeah.
There are some things available.
So it's a half a turn after you reach the gasket, mm-hmm. and then one of the things that you were, if you put that back on there,
yeah.
one of the things that was key that you mentioned. It's called torque assist for a reason. It's actually designed so, you know, as you put your, and Jim was showing it, you know, it's to favor the install like mm-hmm. this, and then to take the cap off, you see these wings and yep. they just pop like that. So now they're on the ground.
Now they're
on
the floor.
I will get them. Just look awkward.
Just look. So the whole idea then, obviously, was to wind up with this installation with caps on the floor or caps right at your feet. But the whole idea here is that now up to its rated pressure, mm-hmm. You're good and not a wrench in sight. So this was a number of kind of innovations that came to make this not only an innovation in fabrication, innovation in the cap itself and in the installation. So, I mean, it was really a really interesting advancement, and we're looking for this to take off. Is it any one of these? Now, we've talked about the 514, we've talked about the 510, we haven't talked about 510, which is the K25, but are any of these available to do use here?
Yeah, currently all our 1-inch ESFRs, mm-hmm. 1-inch threaded ESFRs, have integrity caps, so that's kind of the key to it. We need the integrity cap for the outlet, and
right.
then we need the torque assist cap. Mm-hmm. So they all follow similar geometry, so this cap works on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Done deal. Our next round will be our 3/4. So we have 1-inch today. Shortly we'll be launching, and this is February 2024.
Okay, yep, it is.
For posterity, so yep. when I say shortly, I mean, March of 2024, mm-hmm. You'll start to see availability from Viking SupplyNet.
Good.
Which is they distribute all the Viking product and fabricate the pipe. So, and what you'll find on our data pages, you'll see InstaSeal compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have a landing page on our website that kind of takes you into it. It gives you a data page on the well outlet, kind of talks through it. I think your video is there.
You've got a very good, hold it. Promotional
I've watched
video.
Your video
on
many, many
oh,
times.
Oh man, let
Jim.
Me tell you.
There's some animations that are really handy.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, sometimes the animation there is a background audio to it, but you can go forward and backwards, which makes it, you know, it's a training tool.
Yep.
So this is pretty exciting stuff. And the whole idea is, and a lot of people don't understand, the bigger benefit is you're never putting a wrench on the head. Yeah. We'd say without much of a question, I don't think we'd have many other manufacturers would argue it, but over 80% of the problems that come from sprinklers are the wrong wrench, mm-hmm. a tired wrench, meaning yep. you've used it too long, or just abuse of the sprinkler where sure. you slipped off it. And, mm-hmm. you know, you've got an element. Every now and again, we get photos of bent frames, and they wonder what's right. wrong. And
yeah.
well,
and that's got to save time, right? I mean, the ability sure. to put them in and not worry about.
Yeah, there's a fatigue factor that a mm-hmm. lot of people don't think about. If you're wrenching over your head all day long, and our ESFR sprinkler wrench has 1 inch on one side and 3/4 on the other, so it's a regular size wrench.
Yeah, it's a big wrench.
And if you've ever made in 1 inch pipe, you do it. When I was fitting, we'd use like 10-inch pipe wrenches. Some guys would use 12s. Some guys would use 14s. And it's based on the size of the guy. Mm-hmm. It's not a put down. Mm-hmm. There's some monsters that can probably put it in hand tight. But typically, you'd use a wrench that size. So yeah. it's got to be about that long to make in 1 inch.
Right.
And 3/4-inch sprinklers have just notoriously been terrible with weld lets. So you tape and dope and crank them away. Uh-huh. So as long as you don't use a pull pipe, the longer the wrench, the better.
Yeah.
So,
oh, gosh. All right.
So.
Well, that covers that then. And that covers everything. So thanks, Martin, for your time on screen.
For your time on screen. For your time
with Tech Talk. for your time at Tech Talk, we really appreciate it. If you want any more information on Viking training, you can visit our website or you can email us. Viking Tech Services, none better in the industry, are there to help you with all of your questions on this. If we don't know the answer right away, we know a guy. That's our motto here, or you can connect with us online at vikinggroupinc.com. Thanks for your time, and we'll see you on the next episode.